Govinda Gosai, the priest engaged in the service of Lord Govinda in Vrindavan, was a disciple of Kashiswar Gosai. There was no servant more dear to the Govinda deity. Purport. Kashiswar Gosai, also known as Kashiswar Pandit, was a disciple of Ishwarapuri and son of Vasudev Bhattacharya, who belonged to the dynasty of Kanjilal Kanu. His surname was Chaudhary. His nephew, his sister's son, who was named Rudra Pandit, was the original priest of Vallabhapur, which is situated about 1 mile from the Srirampur railway station in the village of Chattara. Installed there are the deities of Radha Govinda and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kashiswar Gosai was a very strong man, and therefore when Lord Chaitanya visited the temple of Jagannath, he used to protect the Lord from the crowds. Another of his duties was to distribute prasad to the devotees after kirtan. He was also one of the contemporaries of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was with the Lord in Jagannath Puri. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also visited this temple at Vallabhapur. At that time, the person in charge was a Shaivite, Sri Shiva Chandra Chaudhary, who was a descendant of Kashiswar Gosai's brother. In Vallabhapur, there was a permanent arrangement to cook 9 kilos of rice, vegetables and other foodstuffs, and near the village there is sufficient land which belongs to the deity on which this rice was grown. Unfortunately, the descendants of Kashiswar Gosai's brother have sold a major portion of this land, and therefore the deity worship has now been hampered. It is said in the Gauraganadesh Deepika that the servant of Krishna in Vrindavan named Bringar descended as Kashiswar Gosai during the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In our household of life, he also sometimes visited this temple at Vallabhapur and took prasad there at noon. The deities of this temple, Sisi Radha Govinda and the Gauranga Vigraha, are extremely beautiful. New Vallabhapur is another beautiful temple of Jagannath. We sometimes used to take prasad in this Jagannath temple also. These two temples are situated within a 1 mile radius of the Srirampur railway station near Calcutta. Om Agyanati Manandasya Ganandana Salakaya Sakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this chapter, Adilila chapter 8, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is describing how he received the order to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how he received that order from various exalted Vaishnavas who all desired that he would do so, and how that order was also confirmed by the deity of Madan Mahan, because after receiving the instruction of the Vaishnavas, still, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was still in doubt whether he was qualified to write about the life and pastimes of and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then he offered his obeisances to Srisi Madan Mohan, and at that time a garland fell from the deity, and the pujari immediately gave that garland to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who then took that as a final confirmation that he should write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's interesting that in this purport, we get a very detailed description of Kashiswar Gosai, who whose disciple was one of the principal pujaris in the Govinda temple in Vrindavan. And then here we get a whole description of Kasiswar Gosai and the worship in the temple, in the village. And we see that Srila Prabhupada describes how to get to that place. He describes that there was some land reserved for the deity, and that in this way, on that land, the rice was grown for the deity, and in that way, everything was provided, everything was cared for. So this is the traditional system. In India, traditionally, when there was a temple, some land would be allocated to that temple. It's just like in Vrindavan, the area where, which is now known as Ramanreti, that was previously known as Radha Raman Bagicha, the whole area. And one can still see it from the legal documents that, you know, because I was involved in these kind of things. And all the land documents show that originally this land was Radha Raman Bagicha, or the garden of Radha Raman. So in that way, generally speaking, a temple would get some land, and that would take care of the temple. A very simple and practical way to assure the seva puja of the deity. Because it is mentioned in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that if one is accepting the worship of a deity, not only should one worship that deity very nicely during his lifetime, but one is also responsible to make sure that the seva puja goes on after one's lifetime. So we can see it's a very major responsibility. And then we see how that was nicely arranged in that way. Krishna is very kind when he manifests himself in his deity form. Krishna descends from the spiritual world in that particular form and manifests himself here. And when Krishna manifests himself in that form, the spiritual world is also manifest. Therefore, in a way, one can say that our temples are non-different from Vrindavan, non-different from the spiritual world, because Krishna is, wherever he is, the entire spiritual world is also manifest. That is the nature of Krishna. So, in this way, we can appreciate the mercy that is manifest through the deity of the Lord. Just like here, the Bhaktivedanta manor, it would have no meaning without a deity, right? It could be a beautiful manor, but the deity is the center of the entire property. And Srila Prabhupada, as his principal servant, is leading all of us in service to the deity. And in that way, everything is going on very nicely. And whatever is there is an asset of the deity, and whatever we develop is offered to the deity. And in that way, wherever the deity is manifest, automatically life begins to center around Krishna. Therefore, deity worship is a very important and powerful element of the bhakti process. Rupa Goswami identifies 64 angas, 64 limbs of bhakti, which can all help to developing one's unalloyed pure devotional service. But then he identifies five particular limbs, the Panch Anga. And it said these five limbs, even if they are performed only a little bit, they can very quickly produce results. So a little bit and very quick results. And then these five are including residing, Mathuravas, residing in Vrindavan, Bhagavat Shravan, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. It includes the chanting of the holy name. It includes the association of the devotees. And it includes Shradhya Murti Sevaya, that with great faith to worship the deity of the Lord. When Krishna was leaving Vrindavan and entered the wrestling arena in Mathura, all staged by Kamsa, then it is described that the different people in the audience, they were perceiving Krishna in different ways. Some were seeing Krishna as Paramatma. Some the ladies in Mathura were very attracted to Krishna and saw him as Cupid personified. And it said, but there were also some people in the audience, they saw him just like stone. And then, because when one's heart is of stone, then one thinks that the deity is made of stone. That is the point that is made. So, like this, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is describing how Lord Chaitanya left West Bengal and went to Jagannath Puri. And it is described that when he went to Jagannath Puri, that on the way he stopped in a few places. And one place was Rimuna, and the other place was just outside of Puri, that temple of Sakshi Gopal. And then we get both those stories, the story relating to Kirachora Gopinath in Ramuna, and the story related to Sakshi Gopal. And in the story of Kirachora Gopinath, we remember how, or Lord Chaitanya remembered how previously Madhavendra Puri was there, and that Madhavendra Puri had heard about the sweet rice which they offer there in Ramuna to the deity of Gopinath. It is known as Amrita Keli, a play of nectar. It was very famous. So when he saw the offering that was going on, he developed a desire to offer a similar preparation to his own deity. And therefore he desired to know the taste. Then he was thinking, I'm such a sinful wretch. I'm desiring to taste things when the offering is not even completed. And he left that place, seeing himself as an offender. But later that night, the pujari had a dream. And the pujari, in his dream, saw the deity of Gopinath, who told him that he had reserved a pot of sweet rice for his devotee, Madhavendra Puri. And he ordered him to make arrangements to deliver that sweet rice. So the pujari immediately got up, first took his bath, and then went onto the altar to take that sweet rice and to deliver it to Madhavendra Puri. Although he had no idea who Madhavendra Puri was or where Madhavendra Puri was, but he just took the sweet rice, went out and start calling out loud, Madhavendapuri, is there somebody called Madhavendapuri? The Lord has kept some sweet rice for you. Oh, Madhavendapuri, Madhavendapuri. And eventually, Madhavendapuri identified himself and got that sweet rice. So the next story, the story of Sakshi Gopal, is the story where two young brahmanas are in Vrindavan. One is the elderly is wealthy, the younger one is quite poor. The younger one served the elder one very nicely. And as a result, the elder one was so pleased that he said, "You should marry my daughter. Sir, you are an aristocratic brahmana. I am just a very simple person. I'm not a suitable match. No, no, you must marry my daughter. Sir, your family will not approve." "No, no, no, I am the boss in my house." But when they returned home, it wasn't quite so. The family was very upset and made a major, threw a major tantrum. His wife was saying she would commit suicide, and the son, the whole family said they would take poison and kill themselves. So finally the elder brahmana said, "Then what do I do? I've promised it." His elder son said, "Just say you don't remember, and I will do the rest." So then a whole situation came where the younger brahmana came and asked for the promise to be fulfilled. The elder brahmana said, "I cannot remember." Then the young brahmana, as is customary in India, when there's some disagreement like that, then the whole village or a crowd of people, they get involved and they pass judgment. So this system was going on. And he called the village, and the whole village, they heard the story from both sides, and it's like said. And then the son of the brahmana, the young brahmana said, "He promised this in Vrindavan." The son, but now he says he can't remember. Then the son of the brahmana, the elder brahmana, began to speak. He said, "This young rascal, he gave my father datura when they were in Vrindavan. He became so confused as a result that his whole mental faculties are not working, and he still cannot remember whatever transpired. And now the rascal says that he promised to marry, that he was promised to marry my sister. He's simply after the money." Well, the whole village was now in doubt. But then the young man said, "No, I have a witness. The deity is the witness." "Oh," said the son of the brahmana, "you will bring your witness." "Yes, I'll bring my witness." And he brought, he went to Vrindavan and brought that deity. He went before the deity and said, "Gopal, you have to come as a witness." Gopal said, "I'm a deity. You know, how can I walk?" The young brahmana said, "If you can talk, you can walk." So, subsequently, the deity walked across India and came there outside the village to testify. Then everyone believed the younger brahmana. So both the stories are interesting because both the stories are showing that the deity is Krishna. In both the stories, the deity is becoming active and the deity is doing things. He steals sweet rice, he walks across India. So in this way, there's no doubt. It takes it beyond the doubt. Is he really God? No. The stories are proving the deity is really the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Really so. Without a doubt. And in the next scene, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is entering into Jagannath Puri. And as he enters into Jagannath Puri, he is seeing the chakra on the temple in Puri, and he gets so enthusiastic that he just runs ahead of his associates who cannot keep up with him, and they sort of come a bit later, and he enters the temple of Lord Jagannath, and when he sees the deities, he sees Krishna, and he wants to jump on the altar and embrace them. So we've been primed in the previous stories to know that the deity is really Krishna. There is no doubt about it. So this is the spirit. This is the spirit in worshipping the deity of Krishna. Krishna is non-different from his deity form. He is fully manifesting himself in that form and accepting all the offerings. As we are on the altar, we are in the spiritual world. Yet deity worship is bound by very strict rules and regulations. You can't just, even if you're a second initiated, you can't just walk onto the altar and sort of sit down somewhere and start chanting japa. And someone say, what are you doing? Well, chanting japa. How, on the altar? Yeah, I'm second initiated. I can go on the altar. No. On the altar, every move is prescribed. When one is on the altar, one is not just doing anything casual or anything whimsical. Everything one does is prescribed. Every step is prescribed. Every movement is basically prescribed, following exactly the procedure properly. Because we are in the spiritual world. But actually we are not qualified to be in the spiritual world. Actually we are not on the level of the residents of the spiritual world who serve Krishna spontaneously out of love and out of their own spontaneous inspirations in this way and that way. No, we are practicing in devotional service. It is our sadhana. Abhyasi yogi yuktena citta sanam yagamina paramam purusham divyam yati partuna sintayan. It is abhyas, it is practice. We're practicing our service and gradually awakening that love, and as part of the process we are learning. We're learning again to become the personal attendant. The pujari is the personal attendant, and he must be there at the right time. Can't just say like, well, sorry, you know, I'm 5 minutes late. I mean, 5 minutes late is like a disaster, you know. 5 minutes late. There's no such thing. It's like all personal considerations are to be put aside. And this puja must go on. The service must go on perfectly. That is the standard. So in this way, it is a sadhana, it is a practice through which we very quickly awaken our dormant love. Because in that, in making Krishna the priority, we're overcoming our self-centeredness, we're overcoming our, that tendency to see the world it turns around me. I am the center of the universe, and everything is basically either I like it or don't like it. It should all be an arrangement that is pleasing to me. From birth, when we are surrounded by loving parents, we are the center of the universe. And children act like that very clearly. You can see it. They just, you know, their mother is their dedicated servant. That's what mothers are for. Child demands and mother must supply whatever it is. So, in this way, we are so much in that mood of being in the center. But this deity worship is changing that completely. So everyone gets involved. A whole village gets involved. A whole community gets involved. Everyone brings something. The pujari may be on the altar and may be very much directly engaged in service with the deity, and therefore his whole life is closely connected to the deity and purifying. But the whole community is connected to the deity, because the whole community is bringing things for the deity, and in this way gives in charity, gives away possessions, gives away money, hurts a little bit, give. I worked hard for this. Yes, I know. Just give it. But I could do other things with this also. Yes, you could. Give it. This is required. Before leaving the temple, did you already give? Did you give something today? If we all would give something before we leave, that would be very nice. Let's see what will happen now. So like this, this service is very important. One reason why I'm emphasizing this point a little bit, which of course is very central in the purport and in these verses, deity worship, is because I am, after this class, we'll have a little ceremony to offer second initiation to Krishna Kirtan Prabhu. So in this lecture, I'm trying to fulfill several purposes. Due to time constraint. And one purpose that I would like to fulfill by bringing up this point of that initiation is to ask for your blessings. It is our good fortune that we can mention this point now, that all of you are present, because after the lecture many of you may not be present because you have other things to do. But now I can at least ask, please give your blessings. Because it is the blessings of the Vaishnavas that in the end are our saving grace. Blessings of the Vaishnavas are not just obtained for free. There is a price. One has to please the Vaishnavas to get the blessings. Yes. Some Vaishnavas may very generously, easily give, but still one has to be willing to please the Vaishnavas. So that is the meaning of such an initiation, that one must be in the mood of pleasing the Vaishnavas. It is a process. Just as I was describing earlier, in worshipping the deities, we're practicing it as a sadhana. We're not liberated souls. We're practicing it as a cultivation of our dormant love of God. In the same way, we have to learn to live by blessings and to always seek blessings. That means to become submissive, to become open to take directions and guidance of others. So that's a whole change in mood and attitude, to seek blessings. Manmana bhava mat bhakto majaji mam namaskuru mameva isyaisi satyante bhakti janapriyosime. Bow down to me. But then Prabhupada says, I was listening this morning to a lecture, and Prabhupada commented on Bhagavati Bhavati Naistiki from the Bhagavatam verse. And he said, it's Bhagavat, it's the devotee. It's Bhagavat. It's not Bhagavan. It's not that Nitya Seva, eternal service to Bhagavan. He says, no, it's to Bhagavat. It's to the devotee. The person Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat. It's to the devotee. One must bow down to the devotee. Because by bowing down to the devotee, then one can become accepted by Krishna. So this element of blessings is there. And so we are asking for such blessings on this occasion. Deity worship, although it is so potent and powerful, Srila Jiva Goswami explains in his Bhakti Sandarbha, must be preceded and followed by Harinam, by the chanting of the holy name. It is especially in the chanting of the holy name that the mercy of the Lord is fully accessible. The process of deity worship is recommended as the Yuga Dharma, as the process for self-realization in Dwapara Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, it is said it is very difficult for the restless, natured people of this age to do deity worship properly, to actually execute it properly. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada pointed out that although deity worship is essential in our movement, we keep it simple. It is there in a simplified form. And he mentioned three things that are particularly important. Simplicity, cleanliness, and punctuality. These three are the main focus. So there is a lot of complexity in ritual found in scripture. But the essence is not that, because it's not about some sort of magic activity where we, by chanting certain mantras, where by performing the ritual in the right way, auspiciousness is invoked, as if the ritual in itself has power, as if the mantra in itself is some sort of magic syllable that gets power. No, all the power within the ritual, within any aspect of the ritual, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Him accepting the service and being pleased with the service. Therefore, the essence is to make arrangements for Krishna's personal pleasure. And that is the entire spirit of the Brahmanas. So it is not surprising that these pujaris in the Radha Govinda temple had a great desire to spread the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu widely. That they had a desire to carry this knowledge beyond their own circle. They were not happy just with their own puja. They were not happy just day in, day out, being in that nice spiritual environment themselves, and feeling very protected and far away from the onslaughts of the age of Kali. No, they desired that this transcendental knowledge would go and reach many people. And therefore they wanted Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to write, because they knew that he was a most qualified writer. They knew that it was very important that that everything about the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be written. And they knew that being very expert in Chaitanya Mangal, which later was renamed as Chaitanya Bhagavat, they knew that the other biographies, like Murari Gupta's Kadacha and the Chaitanya Bhagavat and Kavikarnapur's writings, had dealt mainly with the earlier pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and no one had described the later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they wanted Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to write about these later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They wanted that the mercy was being distributed. It is said, let me just see if I can remember the verse properly. Durene yavaram karma budhu saranam anvicha. Durene yavaram karma. I missed the second line. Well, it doesn't want to come, the whole thing. Blocked. Yeah. Still blocked. Even the next, the whole line is gone. There's a blank. But, and then the third line, Budo saranam anvicha kripana phala hetava. So, the point is that the a devotee, who is interested only in his own salvation, is not really a brahmana. A real brahmana is the opposite of a kripana. A kripana is a miser, one who is interested in his self-interest, who wants to basically enjoy all the arrangements in his life. Brahmana is very different. A brahmana means he is one who is very generous. And therefore it is said that the brahmana, whatever he receives during the day, he gives it away, and by night he has given everything away that he has received in charity, and he keeps himself voluntarily in that condition of always giving very generously, because he is interested in uplifting others. But the Vaishnavas, they particularly give transcendental knowledge, because what is a greater wealth than that? What goes further than that? So this gift of transcendental knowledge, they want to share somehow or other. And that's very much the spirit of this movement. It's like one temple in India I like to visit, and many of us do, is the Radha Govinda temple now in Jaipur. We're discussing here the deity of Radha Govinda in Vrindavan. That deity went from Vrindavan to Jaipur due to circumstances. And the spirit in that temple still has a clear touch of Mahaprabhu's movement. The deities, Radha Govinda, originally installed by Srila Rupa Goswami, are now in Jaipur. We see at the right side of the altar, there's a large painting of Gornitai. They know very well that these deities belong to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, and the mood in the temple is very much like that. You see people who have Mahaprasadam, and they distribute it. They always stand to the side, distributing it. Everyone's distributing. They have something, they distribute. Everyone gets. The birds get fed, the monkeys get fed, the cows get fed. It's just generosity, giving. That giving is so in the forefront. So this generosity is the Vaishnav quality. Not only generosity with one's possessions, that goes without say, but even more so, to give oneself completely. That is Vaishnav generosity, to fully give oneself. Pranirakta diyavacha shreyamacharanam sada. To give all one's energy, to give one's possession, to give one's intelligence, to give one's worth. Words that will make life safalya, successful or fruitful. Then one will taste the ultimate fruits, the fruits of of love of God very quickly, even when one is not perfectly pure, because one attracts the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By being generous in this way, giving oneself to distribute transcendental knowledge in some way or other, one attracts the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which can make up for whatever we are lacking. So in this way we are fortunate that we are getting this opportunity. Now, Srila Prabhupada is the foremost servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He didn't just preach such philosophy about fully giving oneself for distributing this transcendental knowledge. He dedicated his whole life to it, and he created a whole movement as a vehicle for it, and he made it in that way very easy. He made it sort of, we don't even have to invent how to do it. He already did that. We just have to take it more or less as he gave it. Maybe some small adaptations, you know, like of the form, not of the substance, but of the form according to time, place, and circumstance. That's about all we have to do. And otherwise, the main thing we have to do is to be faithful, to be faithful followers. Now, there is, there are a few generations of devotees present. Some direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada are present, his grand disciples, and even a next generation. So some generations of Vaishnavas may be present, but all very closely connected to Srila Prabhupada. And the best thing we could do in our time is to be very transparent to his divine grace, because we are very close. We are still able to hear so many things directly, and of how Prabhupada wanted it, and what was important. Imagine what it's going to be like after 100 years, after 200 years, after 500 years, after 700 years, and maybe so much more obscured than it's now. Therefore, the greatest, one of the important things we can do is, yes, let us be transparent to Srila Prabhupada as much as we can. Let us take his mood and don't change it. There's no need. Let us just be transparent to his mood. The more we are, that would be the greatest service we can do, because that will transmit a clearer message to the future. So we have a responsibility in that way to transmit that message of transparency to the future. Mm. Yeah. So I think I'm using up the time, so I'll end. If there are any questions, comments.